Are we recording?
Yes.
Oops.
Good evening, everyone. This is the Squirrel Port. Yeah. We are organized as usual.
Yes.
Weird is not on this evening. He's vacationing, I think, in Florida with his family. Must be nice. What's new with you guys? Anything?
I'm trying to think if there's anything new.
Do you know what is new? I was just reminded of what is new. I am so amazingly excited about this. I can't even.
Well, what?
They just released a trailer for The Incredibles 2.
Oh, yeah. I just heard about that.
I am like super excited about this.
We love the first movie.
It is like one of my all-time favorite movies. Like,
yeah.
Not just animated, not just Pixar, just period. It's just, yeah. I enjoyed it so much. And that is despite, much like Monsters, Inc. and Finding Nemo, I have watched it approximately 975 billion times because I have children.
Right.
And they were, let's see, my son was 3 and my daughter was 1 when The Incredibles came out. And it's a Pixar superhero movie, so it's very family friendly. It's so well done on both the adult level and the kid level. It's bright. It's got a lot of action. It's, you know, the characters are relatable despite being superheroes.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
The Incredibles. Oh my God, you're right. 2004.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yep.
I'm old. So. And they're just making a second one now?
Yes. Huh.
The nice thing about it is the characters won't have aged any.
Exactly.
That is true.
Exactly. And from the trailer, it appears that they're picking up literally where the last one left off. So kind of the neat thing about animated, because they can do that. You know, the characters haven't put 14 years of bad road on them.
Beard Jay.
So I'm super excited about The Incredibles 2 coming out. That I've seen the trailer. It looks good. It looks like they've kept the feel. They haven't, like, you know, because I was curious, you know, with putting that much time in between, were they going to try to, like they did with the Toy Story franchise, and age the characters, or not the toys, but the human characters in Toy Story.
Right.
Again, my children have grown up with Pixar, so I'm kind of a Pixar connoisseur.
Pixar.
With the possible exception of Ratatouille, because I still get squicked out by the idea of a rat preparing food.
have you seen the thing that demonstrates, there's a website that talks about how all the Pixar movies are in the same universe?
Yes, I have.
Yes.
And there's
awesome.
There's a whole bunch of interchangeable jokes, and right. then there's like
it's a timeline.
There's some room that refers to wherever Pixar was started, and it's in every single movie. And of course, all I can think of is, Room 101. No, wait, that's not it.
Well, they've done that with other things too, like the Disney, all the princesses are kind of like Ariel and Elsa, and there was a shipwreck and this one's father, and like somehow all the princesses are connected somehow. I don't know. I never paid attention to all those, that thing. I like the movies though, but apparently somebody has figured out that all the princesses are connected somehow.
Even
you know, the one from Tangled showed up at the wedding for another one, and there's a shipwreck, and that was that one's parents, and,
oh, wow.
and Ariel, the, you know, it's yes. Yeah,
oh
very
yeah.
Well-written.
Elsa, they talk about how the in Frozen. Yeah. The most dangerous thing you could be in a Disney movie is the parent.
Yes.
It's like Disney
toast.
Batman.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we must kill the parent.
Even Bambi's mom, right?
That's right. You know, Bambi's mom, Cinderella's parents, you know. Yeah.
Sleeping Beauty. Oh, yeah. That was horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
They're all the parents, you know, Frozen. Frozen, they died in a shipwreck.
Right.
So it would make sense that you could have something tied in with the Little Mermaid.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. I don't know the story, but I thought, wow, that person has a lot of time on their hands to figure that out.
Yes. You know?
Never, the never one, underestimate the, one movies, the power of nerdery.
Well, yes, weaponized nerds.
Yeah.
The one, I guess the movie series or whatever they call it, is the Despicable Me series with the Minions. Mike loves those. So we have seen all those. The guy with the nose and the little girl, and it's so fluffy. And yeah. Those
really,
are great.
Yes. I really like the first one. I don't think the rest have been all that great.
The second one where they were like the little minions were out in the world trying to, I don't know. That was weird, but
it's but good. A lot like the Shrek series too.
Shrek was a series?
Oh yeah. I think they got up to 4.
Yeah, after the first one was good and the rest were
exactly. It was, you know, you could tell much like let's say Lethal Weapon or, you know, Police Academies 2 through 48.
Milking the franchise.
Exactly. It was one of those things, we have a hit.
Yeah.
People loved it. It was unique. Yeah. Let's do it over again. And over and over. Yeah. Exactly.
Until people are sick.
Exactly.
I wanted to mention though, like in The Incredibles, I remember in the first, this is kind of a weird tie-in, and I'm sorry for anybody who has not seen any of what we're talking about, but in The Incredibles, there is a character, and I think her name's Edna.
Edna Mode.
Yeah.
Edna Mode, right?
The designer.
Yeah.
Right. Has anyone ever seen The Blacklist?
Yes. I actually like that immensely, despite horrible, horrible, horrible gun handling and tactics.
Well, yes. But in The Blacklist, there is a character, and her name is Mr. Kaplan.
Mr. Kaplan,
And it's a female character, and they call her Mr. Kaplan. It's a long story, long backstory, blah, blah, blah. But every time I see the Mr. Kaplan on The Blacklist, I think of the Edna Mode on Incredibles.
I can see she's too tall, but other than that.
Well, yeah, but other than that, same. And it's just weird. I don't know. Anyway.
That is a very interesting tie-in, but now I will not be able to
unsee. Now you will not be able to unsee. No, I know.
That's kind of like, you know, okay, I'm a giant screaming dork. I'm very excited about The Incredibles 2 coming out.
Hey,
it's coming out.
I think that's great.
I hope the sequel is every bit as good.
Have you seen Coco?
I have not yet. The big problem with my kids getting older is they don't want to see Pixar movies anymore. And I'm like, I'm not going to go watch a Pixar movie in the theater by myself.
You got to wait for it to hit the DVD.
Bingo.
That's what I'm doing. I'm waiting for the DVD to come to the library. Yeah, so
there you go.
Yeah.
You know, I know. You know, will I see The Incredibles in the theater? Yes. So.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I know The Incredibles was safe for kids, but I never really saw it as a kids movie.
It's much like a lot of Pixar. There's a kids movie on one level and there's an adult, you know, I mean, you
like the old Looney Tunes.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, for kids, it's like it just the face value. It's a bunch of superheroes. They have crazy adventures. They save the day. Boom. It's just, you know, a morality play right up front. You know, be true to yourself, blah, 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 blah. For the adults, it's like, you know, you can see there are elements. Yep. Stuck in a job you hate. Yep. Who can't identify with that?
Not anymore.
But, you know, To be fair, the job that I left, I didn't hate. I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it. And I still, you know, I understand, realize, and appreciate how lucky I am in that I do love my job. But I still hold that, you know, if you can find a job you don't hate, you're doing pretty damn good.
Yep.
But, you know, still, you know, Mr. Incredible is doing a job he has no interest in doing, but he does it because he's the dad and he's got to, you know, make money and whatnot when he knows there's more, he could do more. And I think that resonates with a lot of people. And, sure, you know, the mom's just trying to keep a sense of normalcy, despite knowing, I mean, just absolutely knowing that her family's anything but normal, which what family is normal? So that also relatable. And then you've got, you know, you've got sibling rivalry. You've got someone dealing with the teenaged angst and just the uncertainty of life in general. And, you know, throw in the baby who
is awesome.
Yes. And unpredictable and kind of crazy. And as, you know, as our friends out, and I'll throw a shout out to Tommy and Aaron. I feel their pain. There's baby issues.
I like cats. That's my response to any baby issues. I like cats.
It does get better. And eventually,
and then they're teenagers, and then it's a whole other thing.
Yes, yes. But hey, I just really like it. You know, I've always been, you know, just the whole. I'd almost like to see them do a prequel, because the Art Deco of the early Incredibles, you know, when they do the flashbacks in the very beginning of the first one with
that'd be cool.
It's very retro, and they've got, you know, the villains, and just it. I could see that all on its own as well. Again, now that I've exposed, not that everybody didn't know I'm a giant dork anyway, but that's my thing. The Incredibles, you know, give me the Incredibles, the Blues Brothers, and Monty Python's the Holy Grail, and I'm good for, you know, weeks.
I would replace. Honestly, I would replace Monty Python with Blazing Saddles. That's just me.
I can see that. It pains me.
I can feel Brita cringing right
like
now.
My
she hates both heart of those movies. Is
my oh god.
You're like the guy with the two switches and you hate them both.
Yes, the button, the two buttons.
Oh my god!
Like, hate Monty Python, hate Blazing Saddles.
I would choose Monty Python over Blazing Saddles.
Wow. And I know how much you hate Monty Python. So that's
and you know, again, I love Blazing Saddles, but you watch it and you realize that it was a different time.
Yeah, I'll say. Really,
and not yeah. And exactly, not just the interactions with Sheriff Bart. The, you know, just the male female interactions, you know, look at Governor LePetitmaine with his secretary, you know, I mean, yep. there was a definitive audience in mind for that movie, and they hit it.
Yeah, they
with did. A shovel.
Alan, apparently.
Oh, I still love it, but you know, you have to take it in the context of when it came out.
Alan,
you know, who they originally wanted to play the Gene Wilder's character, right?
Who?
I forget.
They'd originally approached John Wayne.
No!
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Yep.
Oh, Mel Brooks. I'm scandalized. I am absolutely scandalized by that.
Mel Brooks.
I wish I did not know that now.
Can you imagine John Wayne doing that? Oh my God, have been the best fucking movie ever.
Well, you know, apparently Mel Brooks had gotten the script to John Wayne and he read through it. God. And he said, I can't do this. You know, it's and you understand, it's totally not his.
No, it's not.
You know, John Wayne was not known for being humorous, you know, but he said, I can't act in it, but I will be the first in line to watch this movie.
Yeah, but oh man, you know, there's an alternate universe somewhere where he did it.
Awesome. Yes, yes, where where John Wayne is going, see this hand, pilgrim.
Oh my God.
Steady as a rock. This is the hand I shoot with. It's all shaky. Because, yeah. Oh, yep. These are, you got to remember, these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land, the common clay of the New West. You know, morons. Oh, goodness.
Wow.
Great movie.
Well, yeah. I have an announcement.
Okay.
For the, well, I mean, I guess I could announce it next week, but this week would be better. Okay. Because I'm all like in the anticipatory mode. I'm getting a new foot on Monday.
Oh,
brand new foot.
Brand new foot.
Yeah.
So this is like,
this is like zero mileage foot. You didn't even have to go to like, you know, used Foots R Us or.
Nope. Well, if they had used Foots R Us and if it was cheaper, I would have done that because trust me,
you would have picked up a clean, no, a low mileage model.
Yeah, I totally would.
What's it going to take to put you into this foot today?
I totally would have.
Oh my God. Could you imagine if they were sold like cars? I've decided I'm going to have to.
Your prosthetist would be wearing a flashy plaid jacket. And,
I would be so down for that. I'd be like, give me the low mileage, kind of gently used. I don't care what color it is. You know.
It was worn by a little old lady who only took it to church on Sunday.
Only walked to church on Sundays.
I don't care what color it is, just as long as it runs. Yeah.
Gets good gas mileage.
But Monday, yeah, I'm getting a new foot. Oh, and that's awesome. It's totally like top of the line high tech.
Is it an iFoot?
It should be. if anybody wants to Google it, it's made by Freedom Innovations. It's called the Maverick Extreme. Extreme starts with an X. XTREMEAT. And it's made out of like a fiberglass type thing.
So it's like a Corvette. You have like
the It's like it's fiberglass, right? So, and also,
oh, that's cool.
It's pretty cool looking. And it looks a lot like one of those running blades, but they've somehow adapted the running blade so that it fits inside like a foot shell, so that I have like an actual foot. I'm not going to be like walking around on this blade thing all the time, but yeah. So, and also like it has a little flex at the ankle kind of area, mm-hmm. and it kind of goes a little flex side to side. So I can kind of adjust, you know, if you're stepping on uneven ground, which is, I hate uneven ground. Because if you don't have an ankle, it sucks. So anyway, so Monday that's happening and I'm kind of a little nervous because it's so different than anything I've tried before. I joke that every time I get a new whatever with my leg, I'm going to have to learn how to walk all over again. But it's true because it's like a new experience. I mean, it's, you know, I'm going to have a new foot and I have to learn how it works. So,
What's it going to do for your vertical? Are you going to be able to jump higher? Because that looks like
it's like very springy. It is very like it stores energy and bounces back kind of thing. So,
are you going to be able to dunk?
Jay, I'm 5'0". I don't think dunking is my future.
It's not a bionic foot.
It's not bionic. No, it doesn't have like rockets.
Tell me that would be awesome. Awesome. Every time you took a step, it did the Steve Austin.
Oh my God.
Although I would imagine you probably get sick of it after about 8 seconds. You'd be like, all right, enough.
Turn it off.
And it starts, and every time Rita runs, it starts going da 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 da.
Oh my gosh. What is the Bionic Woman song? Isn't there one?
Oh, that was dumb.
Is it Jamie Summers?
Yeah, it was Jamie Summers.
Wow.
I used to have that. You know, when I was a kid, I had that Barbie. I had the Jamie Summers Bionic Woman Barbie. And somebody probably bought it for me. I don't know. Probably because I was like, you know, I had removable parts and they probably thought, hey, you know, Brita needs this. But all I remember is that her face came off and it was really, really creepy underneath.
Oh, that's super creepy.
Like really fucking creepy. Like she had like a robot face with like eyes and some stuff. And you could take her.
you had a Terminator before there was a Terminator.
It was, Google it. I'm sure it exists online. If the Bionic Woman Barbie, it was really just,
you can't look up.
Looking
Steve
back
Austin.
On it now, it's yeah. So yeah. So anyway, that's what's happening on Monday.
Cool.
New foot. I'll report back.
Awesome.
But I watch a lot of videos of people who have these feet, and they do really good at the gym, like with like squats and deadlifts. And I have not been able to do squats. I've tried every single like modification, like putting like a really small plate under my heel so that I have like some things so I can like kind of like move my ankle a little bit while I'm squatting, and that doesn't work because it's like I can't balance because I don't have any ankle motion. So, but I've seen people wearing this foot doing squats. So that's the plan.
So this, you're getting this specifically so you can lift more weights. I approve.
Yes.
I'm just telling you, I approve of this.
Yeah.
And so I can relate to squats because we have
a
squat rack.
Beast.
Did you know that?
Are you doing squats, Jay?
I am doing squats.
What are you up to?
I'm up to, okay, now I have to think.
This will make me cry.
I have to do math. Blah, 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 blah. Hold on. 140,
135. Oh, okay. So you're squatting a burrito.
That sounds so wrong. I was like, you got to pay extra for that.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
Yes, I'm looking to. It nice. Should be going up shortly. I tried doing the. We have 245s, 225s, and 210s. And
nice.
It's a 45 pound bar. So I do everything but the 10 pounders on the end because the first time we put everything on and I did the squat, my knee went stop. So I'm like, I will work my way up to that.
Do you have a squat rack?
Yes. Yes, we do. We have a squat rack and a bench for bench presses. And then a ton of free weights.
Yeah, I've got a few dumbbells. I'm my back's so screwed up. I have a hard time. I don't do a lot of heavy squats because I'm deathly afraid of shattering what remains of my L3 vertebrae.
Yes.
I do low weights with a hell of a lot of repetitions. So
Gotcha. And you probably do a full all the way down like to the floor.
Yeah, because I only do. I mean, I the most I'll squat is like 100 pounds. I don't want to do any more than that because
perfectly respectable.
If you saw the X-ray of my L3 vertebrae, you
the one thing I really like about squats is that my back lets me know when my form is wrong.
Oh yeah,
the back is like stop, and I'm like, okay, fix the form. Okay, doesn't hurt, doing it right.
Do you mirrors? That's your next step.
Just in the bedroom.
Mirrors.
I have gun cabinets with glass cases that I.
There you go. Occasionally. Close enough.
I'm not gonna lie. I like doing curls in front of the case. I'm not gonna lie.
Watching the guns That's while okay. you work the guns.
This gun case has swords in it because that's how I roll.
Okay.
I'd like a picture of that.
my gun cabinet full of swords.
Your sword case.
Well, it doesn't lock, so you know the other gun case with the glass front has a lock, so that one has guns in it.
Yeah, because a glass fronted gun case is all kinds of security.
Well, they're that's where my Milsurp bolt action
lives, the ones that are like bait for
yes, it's like
here,
oh,
steal
no,
these.
They took all of my rifles. What a terrible, terrible thing.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, and a ton of free weights, and we're just learning all kinds of ways to injure ourselves. And not my son. My son's 17. He's
indestructible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just wait. The problem is everything you do at 17, you feel at 55.
Yep. That's, you know, it's why he's doing it right. He's, you know, he's learning how to do the correct form. I guess like it's an actual thing at his high school. They have a class for weightlifting.
Oh,
I had one of those.
Which
is kind of cool.
I had weightlifting. We did weightlifting class in high school and in I did one in college too. So yeah, that was my PE credit. Weightlifting.
That's a good way to do it.
Yeah, it was great.
I see so many people with bad form at the gym. There's this one guy, and there's this one guy in particular, and he's like, he's not a tall guy, but he's really like buff, but from the waist up. Mm-hmm. He's one of those guys that only does like upper body arm guy.
He skips
leg day. Mm-hmm. And he like can lift a lot of weight with his arms and stuff, but his form is like he's jerking the weights, like kind of like jerking and throwing. I'm just like, oh man, your joints are going to hate you when you're 50. Trust me. But yeah, so, oh, and also I've noticed that at the gym, you know, you have the arm guy, the arm upper body guy, right? And he's all, and like he's really built up top, but there's like little skinny chicken legs underneath. But I've noticed there is a corollary for women at the gym. There is the girl who only does butt exercises. And she's usually like 21. And really hot and skinny. Man. And she has a giant butt.
I see nothing wrong with this.
I know you don't, but like, and that's all she does. And God love her, like, it's your body. Do it. You do whatever you want. But like, I don't know. How do you buy pants? I don't know. I'm already having that problem with buying pants and wearing pants. Cause none of my pants fit right anymore. Cause my thighs are big and my butt. And
hey,
like,
Jay, are you grinning too?
I refuse to answer on the grounds I may incriminate myself.
Nothing fits right. Damn it.
That's right up there with the too small t-shirt story.
or the shaving.
Oh my God. We did have a topic for this week.
Yes, we do.
And this is a shitty segue, but I'm going for it anyway.
I go for it. You're the expert. Well, I will say, because Brita won't say it, but Brita really is our art expert. She doesn't think she is, but she is.
Well, compared to you, I am.
Yes.
Or me.
But a lot of people don't know it, but Brita does have a degree in fine art. So she is an art expert.
Literally.
I have a degree in art, and I took a lot of art history classes, and I'm obsessed generally with art history and art and stuff, design and whatnot. So,
and 4x8 sheets of plywood painted blue.
That too has its place. But this past week, the official presidential portraits were revealed, and I everybody had really strong feelings about this. And before I start talking about it, I want to hear you guys talk about it, because what was. Jay, I'm sure you've seen them, right? They're,
yes.
You know, the presidential portraits, they're going to be hung, you know, in the gallery with all the other ones.
It's a very interesting choice.
Right.
I don't really understand why he has six fingers on his hand. Perhaps he is the person who killed Inigo Montoya's father, but.
Yeah.
Again, if it's what he wanted, hey, good for you.
Right.
Know, God bless you. Power to you and the Red Sox, you know.
Bless your heart.
Bless your heart, yes.
Was that a bless your heart? Yeah.
That's pretty damn close.
My only quibble with it is that, you know, Obama styled himself as a change agent and you know, claimed to do a lot of things different, even though he really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of see this as something along those lines. He, you know, all if you look at the history of presidential portraits, they all have a certain feel to them. They look.
Yeah, you can go to the Wikipedia that has. You go to the. I think it's like presidential portraits or something. Right. Go to the page and they have them all together. Right. And you can look at them all together.
And yeah. they're all a little different, but they're, you sure. know, you can look at them and go, yeah, these are all the same. But with the Obama one, you get to play one of these things does not match the others. And you know, I mean, obviously they did that on purpose and for a reason. And I've heard a lot of people that go, oh, it's not art. That's, you know, all the usual things people say about stuff they don't like.
Right.
Which, you know, I mean, obviously it is art and obviously, you know, but I think in a lot of cases, like most things, there are multiple levels to these portraits. It's not just the portrait. It's who did the portraits and what that says about it and a bunch of other things. But, my, like I said, my only quibble is they don't match the rest of them. And I don't know. I kind of wish at this point, they would have gone and said, you know what, let's, you know, of course, in 200 years, people look back on it and go, oh yeah, that Obama man, he was after him, everything was different. You know, who knows?
I don't know, man. Chester A. Arthur. Dude, he's got like this thing.
What?
He's got like the Ambrose Burnside, but they come down to his nipples. I mean, he's got like a hair shirt going on. And I'm pretty sure it's a toupee.
But I, like Jay, am not an art expert. And I only know what I like and what I don't like. And
right.
So
I know what I hate. And I don't hate this.
I think a lot of people don't like, I think it's like the gas tax thing. A lot of people don't like it just because it's Obama. And I think they could have had any artist paint any portrait and there would have been a large percentage of people that were, oh, that sucks. That's awful. Merely because it was Obama.
Right.
So anyway, that's my two cents. Rita, take it away.
Yeah.
Well, when I first saw the portraits, I initially thought that they were really great paintings. And in the context of how portraiture is today, they're great paintings. And if you look at the individual artists, like for each portrait, they fit perfectly in with their body of work. I can't remember the guy's, what is the guy's name that painted Barack Obama's portrait? Kehinde Wiley was the guy who painted Obama's portrait. And he has made a point of doing portraits in like a Baroque classical style of Black people, because there have not in history been a lot of traditional portraiture of Black people.
Rembrandt wasn't painting Africans.
And you go through museums and you see a lot of white people, a lot of white portraits. You don't really see any Black portraits.
Right.
And in that context, I think, wow, that's a great painting of the first Black American president. You know, terrific. It's a great painting. But as an official presidential portrait, my feeling is always like, For presidential portraits, there's a reason that there has been a style throughout time. They have varied slightly. There's been a few like outliers. Like if you look at the JFK presidential portrait, it is markedly different than the rest of them. Not just like in color, but in the pose and the tone of it. And I think, I don't know if it was done after he died, I think it was, and I think it kind of gives that sense, you know, kind of, you look at the portrait and you get kind of like sad. There's like this kind of feeling to it. But I think it may have been done after he had died. In fact, it's traditional for presidential portraits to be done after, like at least 2 years after.
Yeah.
Gerald Ford is holding a pipe. It's very weird.
That's interesting.
I'm just zipping through them.
So, presidential portraits, you know, they're supposed to be like this kind of timelessness to them. And it's supposed to be a portrait of a person.
Oh my God.
you know, in this timeless, and it reflects on the presidency. You know what I mean? Like, it's a continuous thing. Like they made a big thing about when Trump became president, where, you know, the handing over of the presidency, there should be like this seamless, timeless handing over of the title to a new person. And the United States is known for, you know, it being a peaceful thing. You know, we have our elections and we have the inauguration, and they're peaceful things, and we have this tradition, and that's what the presidential portraits have always kind of looked like to me, where it's like kind of like this timeless thing, right? Because the office of the presidency is not about the man. It's about being the president of the country.
Right.
And Obama, I mean, this portrait of Obama is really like kind of a psychological study in this guy, right? So the guy who painted this portrait he's known for painting these portraits of black people in this classical style, but he has also painted lots of like hip hop figures and sports figures and, like, you know, Grandmaster Flash and LL Cool J, you know, all those types of people. And so Barack Obama wants to fit himself into that kind of, you know, he's putting himself in that group with those people. Like, it's not a secret that Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, like, idolized Jay-Z and Beyonce, right? So he's inserting himself into kind of that body of work that he included himself in with.
Right.
You know, all these hip hop figures and sports figures, even to the fact that, like, I read a review of one of the painting, and they're saying that the way Barack Obama is sitting in the portrait looks very similar to a basketball player sitting on the sidelines waiting to, like, get in, still, like, he's still in the game, but he's on the sidelines.
Well, he's been very, very, a very pro basketball president. He loves to play, and, you know, so that's not surprising.
Right. I mean, it's the same kind of stance, sitting on sidelines, waiting, kind of still in the game type thing. So there's a lot of symbolism in like the background. The background, by the way, is not an unusual thing for this painter. Like, he paints all these floral kind of weird backgrounds. There's a lot of symbolism in the background of the Barack Obama painting. Like, a lot of the flowers are from, like, Hawaii, where he grew up, and Chicago, and, you know, whatever else. But Kenya, I think some of the flowers are a national symbol of Kenya. But, yeah, so I don't know. I just really think that, and you have the issue where the Obamas intentionally went out and found black painters to paint their portraits because.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know,
there's another fact about the painter who painted a Barack Obama's portrait. Apparently he's well known for pictures of black women holding white women's severed heads.
Yeah.
Which is a little odd.
A little odd.
Yeah, just, you know.
Yeah. I saw those, and I understood the, like, artistic kind of, like, nod to, like, there's lots of paintings, like, there's biblical stories of, like, Judith, right, cutting off the head of the king, and there's lots of, like, women beheading, but there's not, like, stories of women beheading other women, but apparently that's what was his nod. But that was kind of like a weird choice. And I read an interview of the author, and he was like, oh yeah, it was kind of like this kill whitey feeling.
Oh, lovely.
Lovely. So, like, can you imagine, like, George Bush picking a portrait painter who, you know,
well, he would.
Did beautiful, beautiful paintings of, like, black lynchings. You know, come on, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure nobody would have said anything about that.
Right.
Also, I just want to say the portrait of George Herbert Walker Bush. He looks like Viggo from Ghostbusters 2. I swear to God, look them up.
Not a good painting. He's standing in front of another painting. What is that other painting?
Yeah, you just look, you're like, oh my God, it's Viggo. His eyes follow you around the room.
I think that's Ulysses S. Grant in the background. In that picture.
I was a portrait painter and I got chosen to like paint a presidential portrait, I would turn it down. I say, oh no, no thanks. I don't care how much you're going to pay me.
It's kind of a no win situation.
Yeah, because it's going to be scrutinized forever. Yeah,
and
like literally forever.
Yeah, you can't win on that one.
And like the thing with the six fingers for Barack Obama's painting. I think about, like, you know, you do art I don't know. It's like you kill yourself over the tiniest details and then you think, oh, it's only me that sees it. But yeah. Then you put your painting up on the internet and like everybody's like zooming in on the thing. Oh, yeah. And like I would be mortified like forever. I just could never do it.
Not only are they zooming in on it, but like the Reddit and 4chan crowd has gone crazy.
Oh, no.
With the alterations. Oh, no. You know, they're putting out, you know, paintings.
Oh, no.
They're putting out, you know, one, I saw one with like a Make America Great Again hat on his head. And and there's another one with just the empty chair where they, you know, removed Obama and there's the, you know, the background and the empty chair. And, you know, it's just, you know, people are just going crazy with it. You know, whether you like the guy's art or not, that's got to be just infuriating to the guy. Who
well,
did the
yeah,
painting,
totally. You know? I just want to, also about the Michelle Obama portrait. And this is along the lines, if I was a painter, I would say no. The woman who painted Michelle Obama's portrait, I want to just say that Michelle Obama's portrait fits perfectly in with this painter's body work. She, you know, it's perfectly in with the rest of her work. And so in that context, it's like, yeah, okay, it's a great painting. It fits in. But she has been like, up until a couple years ago, she was waiting tables. So she's not like super famous professional portraitist.
Not like
famous
the guy
artist.
That did Obama's
she's,
painting.
Right. The one who did Obama's painting. Yeah, he's super famous. But the woman who painted this portrait is like an up and coming artist. And, you know, yay for you getting the opportunity, but everybody who has looked at this portrait has been like, oh no, it doesn't look like Michelle Obama at all. Like, who are you painting?
It looks
and
like
I
her
would
arms
just be
and shoulders.
Well, yeah, but I would just be scared, like, oh, to yeah. paint something like that. I would never feel like, oh, sure, I'll paint that. You
well,
know,
especially if your style is one of not necessarily realism.
Right.
Which hers is not. I mean, I did a quick Google search on her, and she's not.
Right.
She's not any sort of realistic kind of painter.
Sure.
She's, I mean, I wouldn't say she's here I am talking about shit I know nothing about, but she's not so far as like an expressionist or you know, she doesn't like paint deliberately distorted things like. You know, like a lot of painters do, but at the same
time.
Yeah, but
the portrait is not the point of her paintings.
Exactly. She's not painting a realistic portrait of a person. It's all the other things. You know, I mean, if you look at her and there's like geometric shapes and the dress and all this stuff, and that's more the point of it instead of, and the face actually takes a back seat. To the rest of the painting, you don't even focus. It's like the face is. It's almost one of those artworks where they have like the minimalized face and everything else is what you're supposed to focus on.
Well, I mean that brings me back to another point about the Obamas, that they chose these painters because number one, they were black, and number two, they're very very kind of political. There's a lot of political messaging in their work, as far as like, you know, Black Lives Matter and anti-Trump, and there's a lot of political stuff just generally throughout these two artists' work. So it just really looked to me like it seemed unfortunate to me. Like, I saw these portraits and I was like, these are nice portraits. They're great paintings, but it seems like the Obamas really... kind of like did themselves a disservice in a way in an effort to be political. Like, they could have had really beautiful, really classical portraits done, but instead they chose these portraits. And I'm not saying they're bad, they're great paintings, but they set themselves apart in a way they shouldn't have. You know what I mean?
Like, I've 50 seen beautiful, years from now.
Yeah, 50 years from now. And this is my comparison. 50 years from now, people will look back and be like, what the hell were they thinking? Yeah, in the same way that we look at, like, purple plaid bell-bottoms from the 70s.
That's scary, because I was just going to say bell-bottoms.
But it's exactly the same thing.
Because you know, at the time, hell, I'll go back to the 80s. You know, I was explaining to my millennial coworker how, man, you'd have a polo shirt with the collar popped. You have an Oxford shirt over that with the collar popped. You'd have a denim jacket, also collar popped, and a long wool coat with the collar popped. And you were the coolest dude on the planet until you look at a picture of yourself 30 years later and you want to die. You would like to crawl into your own body and vanish.
Yeah.
Gone. Because what was I doing? Especially when you pan up and there's a just beautiful flowing mullet.
Oh, yeah.
And you literally could. All you need is a giant Motorola cell phone and you are and you're getting into a DeLorean and you are 80s man.
I'm 80s man. Did you wear peg jeans, Jay?
I had pegged Banana Republic parachute pants. Thank you very much.
Oh my God. Jay. Oh. I'm embarrassed.
That's what
you,
we
man.
Need a portrait of.
But you know, these paintings are, you know, that's a perfect description of the Obama presidency. I mean, he could have, I mean, the first black president could have
totally
done amazing things for race relations, could have done amazing things in all kinds of directions and chose not to.
Yeah.
And chose to be political and you know, all this other stuff. So, I mean, in that respect, the portraits are a perfect reflection of the Obama presidency.
Yeah. It's really unfortunate because, like, I think of some of the, like, photograph portraits I've seen of the Obamas. Like, there have been some beautiful photos of Michelle Obama where she's standing in the White House and she's wearing a beautiful gown. And I'm thinking of a certain one where she's, like, in this beautiful red room with, like, kind of stuff on the walls. And it's all very classical. And she's wearing a long gown. And she's looking out the window and the light is beautiful. And I was like, why couldn't they have painted that? You know, instead you have this thing, you know. And then this weird Obama thing. I mean, it's just weird. Like, people 100 years from now will look back on it and be like, what the hell was going on there? But then again, they may look back at his entire presidency and be like, what the fuck was happening during that time?
Yeah.
Right?
Which we do anyway.
We do.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens once the you know, revisionists of 100 years from now.
Yeah. And I just, it was like a missed opportunity for them, for me. It was like, I think these are great paintings, but I don't think they're presidential paintings. Let's just say that. Like, I would have loved to see Barack Obama, like, looking all presidential in a painting and fitting in with the rest of history. And, like, you know, why not? I mean, you're the first American black president. Good for you. And you should have, like, been, like, noble and strong looking and classic, but you have this instead. And it seems sad to me that they chose to go this way.
But isn't that pretty much, you know, like the hallmark of the Obama presidency? It's sad that they chose to do this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if there was, if they could have done something one of two ways, they picked the worst way to do it.
Yeah, true.
And pretty much all 8 years, you know, you want to repair race relations. No, we're going to side with Black Lives Matter and have them at the, you know, Democratic National Convention. You know, you want to help, you know, build up the community police force. No, we're going to say that they acted stupidly and, you know, and just put down the cops without knowing anything. You know, you want to repair the United States image on the world stage. So you go on a bowing tour of, you know, every tin pot despot around. You know, the foreign policy was driven by how can we best stick a finger in the eye of the United States?
Right.
You know, I mean, Bill Clinton took an 8-year vacation from history. Barack Obama, like, reveled in deliberately taking steps to move us backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that makes me a racist because, you know, the only possible reason you could oppose Barack Obama is that you're a racist. Just like the only possible reason you could not like Hillary Clinton is that you're sexist.
I guess I'm sexist.
So. Bah, we got into politics. Let's talk about. Let's go back to the Incredibles. The Incredibles and Blazing Saddles.
No.
Oh my God.
What?
Imagine if Pixar did Blazing Saddles.
Oh, well, they never. It couldn't.
They couldn't. But how awesome! Oh my God, Brita.
What?
Brita. What if Pixar? What if Pixar did Firefly?
Ooh, wait, like an animated Firefly?
Isn't there an animated Firefly thing already?
No.
No? Cartoon?
There have been, like, people have drawn.
What am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Nah.
There was an animated Star Trek. There's
animated No. Star Wars.
There was a Star Wars Christmas special.
Good one.
Now I'm racking my brains. Like, there was an animated... No, not animated. Maybe it was like a little comic strip I saw or something for Firefly.
They've done comic books, graphic novels and stuff for Firefly.
They're not comic books. They're graphic novels.
Yeah.
No, they're comic books. Oh, on the same line, I wanted to bring up the whole, while we're talking about race and image and blah, blah, blah. The New York Times did a big expose, maybe not big, maybe a little expose. I don't know. But is it okay to allow your child, your white child, to dress up as Black Panther?
Oh, my God. Yes. That was so funny. Talk about
it was so stupid. It gave me Forrest Whitaker eye.
It was
is probably racist.
It was, you know, it was. They were trying so hard to gin up a controversy where there is absolutely no controversy. You know,
well, there was recently another controversy where should you let your little girl dress up as like Pocahontas if she's not Native American? I mean, it's the same thing, right?
Or Elizabeth Warren.
She's still pushing the fact that Native American.
Hey, she has one. Apparently, the article is bang the hell out of it.
The article was initially titled "Who's Allowed to Wear a Black Panther Mask?"
You know, I saw a whole. I was in Walmart the other night, and I saw like stacks and stacks of Black Panther stuff. You know, and I don't think the kids give a shit that it's you're supposed to be a black guy. They just think it's cool. You know,
of course,
superhero. Ah, Black Panther's cool. You know, it's like when I was a kid. You know, back in the '60s when I was a kid, we, you know, kids don't know what the fuck racism is. They have no clue. I didn't know. You know, it's you learn that shit.
Yeah.
So,
I just always wanted to be Wonder Woman.
What's this wannabe?
Yeah. And now I am.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, I've seen lots of pictures of black people cosplaying all sorts of white characters.
Sure.
And it's cool, man. Like, yay, black Captain America, do it. Black Wonder Woman, okay. Like, I'm down with it.
You
like,
do you.
Why not?
I don't understand.
The more nerds, the better, is my feeling.
Exactly. Thank you.
The New York Times is just, they're going to see a racial issue in anything because it's their knee jerk. That's all that there is. You know, that's their analysis for everything. I just saw a thing. Somebody was, there was a reporter that was trying to get, I know I wasn't going to talk about this, but I'm tangentially talking about it. There was a reporter that was trying to get to somebody on, that messaged somebody on, Twitter about the recent shooting and wanted to know, you know, if was the shooter white? If so, can we talk about, you know, can we interview you? I'm like, yeah.
Oh my God.
So what if he wasn't white? You don't care? You know, but that's that attitude
doesn't fit the narrative, I guess.
Well, yeah, but that, you know, let a liberal talk for 2 seconds and you'll hear, you know, it's like they can't help but tell you exactly what they're thinking. It's like there's no filter. You know, they are so used to living in their little bubble that they just say, you know, whatever that comes out. And it's, you know, everything is to the New York Times. Everything is a racial issue.
Our bubble.
Yeah. Mine makes
everybody's
sense.
Invited until I kick you out.
Yeah, that's right. and you know who you are, but if you got kicked out of the group,
stop asking
to be back in. It's just pathetic.
Don't get back in the treehouse, guys.
No.
try again in a few years, but try again in a few years after you've have a track record of not being a jerk. Because, you know, the internet's forever and, well, I'll just leave it.
And Brita has a long memory.
That's right.
I'm like an elephant that way.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, guys, it's 9:01.
Yeah, but we started a little late.
We did not.
Yeah, we got like 3 minutes left on the clock.
Oh, my God.
We're gonna
Phil,
milk.
Phil, Phil, Phil.
So I'm going to be visiting Texas soon.
That's right.
By the way. And helping Alan with his garden, apparently.
Yeah.
That's my job. Last time I taught him how to cook. This time I'm going to go and teach him how to garden.
Rita.
What?
I have you and Alan as American Gothic in my head.
Oh, well. No. That's disturbing.
I don't think it'll be that way.
All right. Squirrels. If any of you at the sound of my voice have mad Photoshop skills, I need American Gothic.
No.
With Alan and Brita. God.
Somebody's going to do it. That'll be
alternately
terrible.
I'll take Green Acres. I'm just saying.
Well, I wanted to, this is a good chance because I have a chance to talk about it, but as everyone, well, not everyone, but many of you know that on Facebook, especially in the group functions, we have like this capability of doing a live video feed.
Oh, that's right.
Thing. So, I'm planning on doing a squirrel report with Alan when I'm in Texas. Alan, that's up to you. You have to work out the microphones.
Already done.
Okay. The technology stuff. But, on our squirrel report page on Facebook, I'm planning on doing live video.
Doing a live feed of the show while we're doing the show.
Not the entire show, but
I'll
like maybe,
put pants
you
on.
Know. I hope you're going to have pants. Yeah. On. You can wear a kilt.
I may actually do that.
Okay. Anyway, so totally sidetracked now. live feeds, I'll but have I'm to thinking spruce like maybe the, office here. Because we're yes, please, and you know, clean your house before I get there. And but I was thinking like maybe a few live feed video things just to try it out on the Squirrel Port page. You know, we're going to the rodeo, so maybe we can like do a little bit of that, and I don't know, we'll see what happens.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool. Fun.
Yeah. So if you are on Facebook and would like to join us on the Squirrel Port, our page is called the SQRPT.
There's a link to it on the Facebook.
Yeah, there's a link to it. And if you'd like stickers, send me a message on Facebook. I'll hook you up. Because I have a lot of them. And please take them.
Hey, those are great stickers. I've had one on my
car.
They
are good stickers.
God, I've had it on my the back of my truck for like 3 years now, and it hadn't warped or peeled or anything. They're very good stickers. And it sat out in the sun every day. All right.
They're good qualities.
That's it. That's an hour. That's a solid hour.
It was a good hour, I think.
Solid hour of squirrel.
Quality entertainment.
That's some high quality squirrel.
I'm afraid I bored everybody with my art stuff.
And
but
I will point out that unlike a lot of podcasts, we don't beg for money. We don't play ads.
No,
we don't do none of that crap. So, you're welcome.
I need $10 million, and the Lord's going to call me home. No, wait, hold on.
We just ask you to come on Facebook and join the Squirrel Port and entertain us. You know, because
yeah,
that's about it.
Oh, and let me throw in my one quick plug, or not plug, but Brent, who I believe is one of our squirrels.
Yes, actually, I have a backstory about Brent, but go ahead.
He sent in an awesome dad joke.
Uh-oh.
Yes. I hate Russian dolls. They're so full of themselves.
Oh.
Oh. So, thank you, Brent.
Oh, my God.
That's just mwah, perfect.
We should do that from now on. We should have like a joke.
Send me a dad joke.
Send Jay a dad joke and he'll read it on the show.
I'll read it on the air and give you a shout out.
That's a good one. Themselves. Oh, yeah. Boy. Thank you, Brent. I've known Brent since I was like 18, 19.
Wow.
Brent watched me get a tattoo.
Whoa. Really?
Yeah.
You have a tattoo, Brita?
Stop it. Okay, I'm going to go now.
Where is this tattoo?
We're wrapping up for the evening. Good night, everybody.
You've known him longer than you've known your turtle.
Yes, in fact.
Wow.
Yes. Shortly. A little bit longer than I've known Myra, but yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back next week.
Y'all okay. Good night.
Oh, good night, y'all. Bye.